And I invite you back to Mark chapter 10, please. We're looking tonight, verses 46 through to the end. With the Word of God open before us, can we seek the Lord, needed help, as we come to the preaching of His precious Word? You pray the Lord might speak to your heart, might bless your soul tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank the Lord that we're found in Thy house this evening. Thank the Lord for the old hymns of Zion we've been singing. O God, we thank Thee for the man of Calvary. We praise Thee, Lord, that Jesus is passing this way. Lord, that while on others Thou art calling, do not pass us by. Lord, we pray that Thou might come in. O God, how we read in the Gospels that it was noised abroad the Lord was in the house. And we pray that that might be our experience tonight. That, Lord, each one would be able to leave and say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord was there. And, O God, that Thou hast arisen with healing in Thy wings. Lord, bless us as we turn to this passage. We ask that Thou would shut out every distracting thought, every distraction that the devil would plant in our minds. And, O God, we pray that Thou would bring every thought into captivity. Bless us, Lord, as we would seek to handle Thy word. Lord, help me to rightly divide it. Help us, Lord, to be a good workman. And Lord, I pray for the infilling of the blessed Holy Spirit. O God, we are desiring that Thou might touch these lips of mine with that live coal from off the altar, that I might preach as thus and thus saith the Lord. Give us, Lord, words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are some cities more prevalent in the Scriptures than others. And that is certainly the case with the one that is mentioned in this chapter. The city of Jericho is that which is recorded throughout the annals of the Old Testament Scriptures, especially with regard to the nation of Israel and their arrival into the land of Canaan. It was Jericho that stood near the banks of the river Jordan when they were to cross over, and hence it was to be that city first to be conquered when Joshua led the nation into the promised land. It was also Jericho that was to have the curse of God upon it, that it would ever be rebuilt again after it was razed to the ground. And men and women, although countless years had passed since that curse was pronounced, nevertheless, it was fulfilled when Hiel dared to rebuild that city again. And I have to inform you that he did so. And when he laid the foundations of it, it was marked by the death of his firstborn. And when he raised the gates of it, it was marked by the death of his youngest son. You see, God is faithful to His promises, whether they are promises of grace or indeed of judgment. It was also the city of Jericho which was to have a school of prophets situated in it in the days of Elijah, and where its waters were to be healed by the prophet of the Lord. And it is the same city that was to have the presence of the one who is both priest, prophet, and king, and who was to arise with healing in his wings. Something that was more beautiful than the walls of this place, or the palm trees, or the gardens, was the blessed Savior himself who walked in its midst. And it is in this city that the Lord was to save two sinners, two men who were poles apart. One was very rich, the other was very poor. One who worked for the authorities as a tax collector, the other who begged for any money that he could get. The power, you see, of the gospel is able to transcend class, creed, and any other division that people make among themselves. And I trust and I pray tonight that there might even be a Zacchaeus here who has come in just to see Jesus, but who will leave and go home with Christ in their heart. But you men and women, it is to the other conversion that took place in the confines of this city or just outside it that I seek to draw your attention to. For the words of verse 46 instruct us that the Savior had passed through Jericho, and he was now going out of that city, accompanied with a great crowd of people, when suddenly we are introduced to a lonely figure by the roadside. It's bad enough that he was blind, that he could not see, but we are given the added detail that this was the place where this man sat and begged and hoped for some compassion from the people as they left the very city of Jericho. While many would not give him a second look and even ignore him, this passage details it was the occasion when Christ was stopped on the road to Calvary. Christ stopped on the road to Calvary. I want you to see, first of all, with me tonight, the hope. While there were many blind men in the time of the Savior's earthly ministry, and we are instructed of them in other Gospels, yet we must say that this is the best known, because we are given his name. His name was Bartimaeus. And I trust that this character, whom I'm sure and probably we have known from our earliest childhood days, is not somehow romanticized in our thought. His was an awful condition to be in. And I'm sure that not one of us would desire to change places with this man. And yet his condition in the spiritual sense is what every sinner born into this world is in. For if you have not Christ as Savior tonight, then you're just as wretched as this beggar was. Before Adam, our federal head, sinned against the Lord, our vision was perfect. Everything was in its true light. And we were enriched being in that communion with God, for that's how it was with Adam and Eve in the garden. But when our first parents sinned, and when they fell, then the result was that we were all born into this world as those spiritually blind and spiritually poor. Sin has darkened man's understanding, and blindness has set in. For the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And dear soul, tonight without the Savior, you're blind to the curses of the broken law. You're blind to the threats of judgment. You're blind to the fact that he that believeth not is condemned already, the Scriptures tell us in John 3. You're blind to the promises of the gospel. And you're blind to the beauty that is to be found in Christ. And with blindness comes also that abject poverty of soul, poor when you do not know Christ as Savior and your Redeemer. You're poor when we do not have the blessed Spirit, that blessed Comforter. You're poor when you have no hope in this life or that which is to come. You're poor when you do not have peace of conscience over sins forgiven, and that assurance that you have an inheritance which is undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. You're poor tonight because you have no advocate with the Father. Come that great and the final day, one who will be able to speak up for you and say, he is mine, she is mine, I died for them on the cross. You're poor tonight because you have not the Savior. The conditional condition, naturally speaking, of Bartimaeus is exactly what you are spiritually without Christ. And I wonder, have you felt yourself spiritually blind? Have you felt yourself spiritually poor in God's sight? Bartimaeus did. And therein was found his very hope. There was hope because we also notice here his conviction. He was to hear a commotion drawing ever near. Don't forget, he's blind. He's dependent upon his ear, his hearing. And he hears a great commotion, and he heard who it was, the cause of it. It was Jesus of Nazareth. And this man had a conviction in who the person of Christ was. For you'll notice what he calls in verse 47. He says, Jesus, thou Son of David. And that is a messianic title. And that is something that the Holy Spirit had convinced Bartimaeus about. There's every suggestion here that the Holy Spirit had already started the work of regenerating this man's heart, a heart that was dead to sin. And by calling out this title of Christ, he was declaring in the ears of the multitude who Jesus Christ truly was. He was convinced that this was the long-promised Messiah who should come. This was the prophet of righteousness. This was the King of Kings. He had a conviction that this was Christ, the great deliverer. Let me ask tonight, have you got there yet? Have you such a conviction this evening? That apart from Christ, you have no hope, and you will have no hope. That only in Jesus Christ can you find salvation, and can you find deliverance for your sin sick soul. I tell you, men and women, tonight, your only hope is Christ, and Christ alone. And I want you to notice here too, that the hope for this man is seen in the fact of his concern. He had a concern that was foremost upon his heart. And that concern is described in verse 47. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. His words were not that Jesus would open his physical eyesight. His foremost concern was that he might receive mercy. And oh, men and women, that gives us an insight into this man's heart. He no doubt wanted to be able to see physically, but his primary concern was spiritually. And so he cried out as he did, have mercy on me. What about you tonight? What's your foremost concern? Is it something in the physical sense? Is it the security of your job? Is it that your children will be well educated? Is it the getting on in your career and doing well in life? And all of those things are good, and all of those things have their proper place. Or is your greatest concern tonight about your soul? That soul of yours that will never die. That soul of yours that will live as long as God lives. For it is eternal. Is your concern tonight of being at peace with God? And in the knowledge that your sins have been dealt with, I tell you, if that is your utmost concern, then there's hope for you too. For there was hope for this man. There's hope for him because of his cry. Bartimaeus found out that Jesus was passing by. The question was, would he avail of this opportunity to cry out for help? This would be the last opportunity, because this was the last time that Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho. He would never be there again. No one knows whether this is your last opportunity to cry unto God for help as the Savior in mercy passes this way. This blind man, no doubt, had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He would have heard of the reports of how he cured lepers of their disease. of how he made the deaf to hear, of how he delivered those who were possessed with demons. It was Christ who even was to raise the dead to life and who had caused the blind to see. Would he be merciful to blind Bartimaeus and convicted of this great need? We read in verse 47 that he began to cry out. You know, dear people, when a child is newly born into this world, the first sign of life is often its cry. And so it is also where spiritual life is concerned. It begins with a cry. That is so because by the work of God, the Holy Spirit, the sinner is brought under conviction of sin. And the sinner cries out from the depths of their being, the depths of their soul, because of their sin. Wonder, have you yet cried out to God because of your sin? Not talking about the one beside you now, or in front of you. I'm talking about you. Have you cried for mercy? Not because there's any merit that you think you have, but simply because you know, preacher, I am a sinner. Can you afford the Savior to pass by without you crying out for His mercy in salvation? Can you afford to pass by another opportunity that He has given you in the gospel? I pray that in Him you see your only hope. For the only hope for Bartimaeus was Jesus of Nazareth. There's something else I want you to see. I want you to notice the hindrances. You can be sure that where there's a work of God and where Christ is presented as the only Savior and the only hope for lost, sinful mankind, then there will also be the work of the devil. And the work of the devil will seek to hinder men and women, boys and girls getting saved. It was no different for this blind man. There was a hindrance of the crowd. We know from verse 46 that there was a great number of people. But I want you to notice verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They weren't interested in blind Bartimaeus. Many in that crowd, when they heard him call out for the Savior, they told him to keep quiet. And their reasons may have been many. Some of them may have been embarrassed. This was Jesus of Nazareth. This was the great prophet that we've heard so much about. And we don't want the blind man of the town to embarrass us and to make a scene. Keep quiet, Bartimaeus. Maybe there was others. They didn't like the content of his cry. They maybe took exception to how he described the Savior as the Son of David. And you know there's nothing new under the sun. The crowds of this old world, listen, they don't care for you, sinner. They may be embarrassed when the name of Christ is spoken about as the sinner's only hope. And there's many others, and they don't agree with the theology of sin and salvation and the need of the Savior. They don't like being told that not everyone is going to be in heaven. They don't like it. And there are plenty even in church circles tonight, and they don't like being told that the evidence of salvation and the evidence of God's grace in the life is a change that is seen. And for whatever reason, the crowds of this world will be a hindrance to you seeking the Savior. Never forget that this world is at enmity to God. This world is no friend to grace. And the crowd may scorn, and the crowd may laugh, and the crowd may jeer at Christ and God's great plan of salvation. Why? Because the devil will do all in his power to hinder people considering their soul, considering their latter end, and the matter of God's salvation. Tell you, sir, the devil doesn't want you to get saved tonight. Madam, exactly the same for you. And so he will put the hindrances before you. You know, something else here was a hindrance. I don't know why you ever saw this or not. Look at the words of verse 50. His garments were a hindrance. Did you notice it when he was to hear the call of Christ, what it says? It says, verse 50, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. The first thing he did was cast away his garment. What we must appreciate is that for the beggar, that outward garment was a long flowing robe that went right down to the feet, and probably it was the most valuable thing that the beggar owned. It covered everything underneath. Yet such was the urgency, and such was his haste to get to Christ, that he didn't want that garment to be an hindrance to him. He didn't take the time to gather it up and to tuck it into his belt. You turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, you'll see how Peter uses that as a very illustration to the people of God. Maybe you've read this verse and you didn't know what it meant. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore, and he's thinking of the gospel. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. That's what the man would do with a long garment. He would gird up the ends of the garment and he would tuck it into his belt in so in order that he could run freely. And the application that Peter is making, he's saying, gird up those things that would come into your minds, those distracting thoughts, those things that would hinder you and causing you to think upon the gospel. Gird those things up. And here's a man, he didn't even take time to gird the loin up, to gird the garment into his belt. He just threw it off. He cast it off so that he might get to Christ. And my friend, that garment may represent various things as far as you are concerned. It may be that that which is you cherish the most and the most valuable thing in your eyes. But truth be told tonight, it's the very thing that is hindering you seeking the Savior. It might be like the rich young ruler, those possessions that you have at home, and you don't want to leave them. You don't want to give them up. You don't want to give up the love of them. That could be your garment. There's many a rich man, and he's clothing himself with his riches. It's the very garment that's holding him back from coming to the Savior. I tell you something else it might be. It might be pride. And you would be thinking of what people might think of you or say of you if you were to get saved. Bartimaeus didn't care what the crowd thought. He threw off this garment. He gladly came to Jesus just as he was in his old rough beggarly clothes. And that outward garment was as nothing to him compared to what he believed would be the beauty of Christ and what Christ could do for him. Dear loved one, I would that you would just come as you are. For I tell you something, God knows what you are, and God sees who you are. And you might put on a nice suit, and you might put on a nice presentation on the Lord's day, and that's commendable, coming to the house of God. But God looketh beyond the outward appearance, and he sees the heart. Don't let dirty, rotten old pride be a hindrance. And there are many proud people in Ulster tonight. It's the very thing, it's the garment that's holding them from coming to the Savior. There's something else that could have been a hindrance, and that was the circumstances. After all, he was just a lowly beggar. This was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing through Jericho. Indeed, he already had left the dust of its streets behind. He was going out of the city now, and soon he would be going out into the country and to that hilly ascent that would take him to their destination. Every circumstance seemed to be against Bartimaeus. The crowds were no help to him. There was no one for him to show him the way. He couldn't see the Lord. He might have been like Jacob of old, who said, "All these things are against me." And maybe that could be your excuse tonight. Every circumstance you feel is against you seeking the Lord and salvation. But dear friend, Christ is greater than any circumstance. I want you to see something in the midst of what were dire circumstances for Bartimaeus. Did you see it? Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Not powerful. And Jesus stood still. When no man cared for his soul. When they called for him to keep quiet. He cried the more, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord heard that cry. He heard his cry from eternity. When it was decreed to work that cry in his heart. And Bartimaeus was made willing in the day of his power. And now, in the midst of a noisy crowd, upon the last time that he would ever be in Jericho, and when he was now going up to Jerusalem to finish the work that the Father gave him to do, the Lord Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus. This blind beggar caused the Lord to do something that no one else ever managed. For it was the occasion that the Lord stopped on his way to the cross. And Jesus stood still. Dear sinner tonight, if he did that, he heard the cry of Bartimaeus. Do you not think he would hear the cry of a spiritual beggar tonight in the Martyrs' Memorial? Would he not hear your cry for mercy? I tell you, the Lord still stands beside needy sinners. And he stands to deliver them when they cry unto him. There's a lovely picture of it in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8. I want you to listen to this. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. It's all there. He saw him. He cared for him. He entered into a covenant with him. He washed him. He clothed him. Men and women, that's salvation. That's what Christ can do for the sinner tonight. I wonder, will this be an unforgettable night for you? Just as was an unforgettable day for Bartimaeus. The hope, hindrances, And simply, I want you to see finally the healing. You see, this is a lovely picture of God in salvation. He's nigh unto all them that call upon him. Having stood still, it was Christ who called unto Bartimaeus. And he was made willing in the day of his power, for he was given the grace to obey that call. And it is my prayer that you, dear loved one, would hear the call of God tonight in salvation. It is that call above the call of the preacher. And that God would give you the grace to obey it. It was a command here that was irresistible, for it came from the one whose mouth is most sweet. He was drawn by the cords of love, and blind Bartimaeus was to know healing that day, and he was changed forever. You notice the words of verse 52. It says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The margin renders it like this: "Thy faith hath saved thee." How can a sinner be saved tonight? Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Saving faith is in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And this blind man believed in Christ. He believed that he was able to show mercy unto him, and his faith proved to be well founded, for Christ made him whole. Both physically and spiritually, both inside and out. Faith is the means that God uses to bring the sinner unto himself. And faith is a gift of God that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have you exercised saving faith in Christ tonight? Let me ask you, and I ask you pointedly, and I make no apology for it, are you saved tonight? Have you been made whole? I'm not asking, do you come here every week? I'm not asking, is your name on the congregational membership list? I'm asking, are you saved? Has Christ made thee whole? You'll see that his healing meant he had a freedom. For the Savior said in verse 52, "Go thy way." It wasn't a freedom to do what he liked, but the Lord had liberated him from the bondage and from the servitude that he once knew. He didn't command him to go back to the side of the road and start begging again. There's no easy believism found in the scriptures, men and women. When the Lord saves, he changes us. We become a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Christ gave this man a freedom that he never knew before. And so it is for the soul that seeks the Savior and his salvation. He will set you free from the chains and from the bondage of sin and of the devil. John 8 verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Or John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Does that not speak of freedom? And you don't have that tonight unless you're saved, unless you have Christ as Lord. That's what you can have through the gospel. There's one other thing. His healing meant a following. Although Christ bid him go his way, blind Bartimaeus could not. Did you see that? He was bound unto Christ. And thus we read in verse 52, Jesus said, "And go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He was constrained to follow Christ. His eyes were open. The first person he saw was his blessed Redeemer, was his blessed Lord and Savior. It is interesting in how he addresses the Savior in verse 51. At the end of it, it says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." You see that word, Lord? It's Rabboni. There's only one other person in the New Testament that called the Savior by that name, and that was Mary. I'll show it to you. John 20. It was on the resurrection morning. And she went early to the tomb. And the tomb was coarse vacated, and the stone was rolled away. And she heard someone behind her. She thought it was the gardener. And she asked him, "Sir, if I had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." I have to confess, I'd love to have been there. For one word was to change everything. Jesus said unto her, "Mary, Mary." And the manner and the way in which the Lord said her name, she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." There's the only other person that used that word. And Bartimaeus that day, in effect, was saying, "My Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Teacher." By faith, he was saying before the crowd, "This is not just a prophet. This is my Lord. This is my Master." And he was willing to submit his entire life to him. He used this endearing term, and he followed Christ in the way. What was that way? Where was he going? It was the way to the cross. That's why he said earlier on, he would never be in Jericho again. He was now going to Calvary. And Bartimaeus followed him in the way. And that is what the Savior demands tonight. Matthew 16:24 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Dear soul, there must be a dying to sin. There must be a dying to those things of the world. There must be a laying of it all down and follow Christ. It is only the way of the cross that will lead you home to heaven. Will you come? Will you follow Christ tonight? I'm not asking you to follow some preacher. I'm not asking you to follow some character who has charisma and is only interested in big numbers. I'm not even asking you to follow a set of rules tonight. But follow Christ. Just as Bartimaeus did. And you know, Luke, in his account, with this I close, he gives us this additional thought. It's lovely. Luke 18:43. "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, give praise unto God." He followed, glorifying God. And you know, dear loved one, Bartimaeus was the means to cause others to praise the Lord. Wonder, will you be able to testify this evening? "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." Will you come this evening? Will you seek the Lord in mercy while he is near? God help you to do so. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts tonight for his own name's sake. We're not going to sing anymore. We're just closing a word of prayer. Let me just say that if there's someone troubled tonight, you're not saved. There's been many hindrances to keep you back from the Savior. But tonight God has been speaking to you. You can say, "Preacher, tonight it's Christ for me. I'm here afterwards as God's servant for your sake. I'll gladly open the book and point you to the Savior, the only Savior, your only hope. Your only hope in life and death and for all eternity. Come. Come tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank the Lord for the power of Christ to heal the sin-sick soul. Lord, we've seen something of it in the life of blind Bartimaeus. Oh God, how he heard the call of Christ and he obeyed. He threw off the old garment that he would get to the Savior. And we pray that that might be the experience of some loved one in the closing seconds of this meeting. Lord, thou would give them the gift of faith. And tonight they'll throw down the puny arms of rebellion. And they'll forsake those things that they've followed that can never satisfy. And tonight they'll know God's salvation. And they'll know what it is to be born again of thy Spirit, clothed in thy righteousness, washed in thy precious blood. O God, do speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. May some soul leave this house being able to say, He is mine. And I am His. Hear, Lord, and answer prayer. Accept of our thanks for a good day in Thy house. Keep Your hand upon us as we part one from another. May the best yet to be. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for God's eternal glory.